Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Out of the gate, I've got to tell you guys, I am ready to change my phone number. I've got 27 now unread text messages from members of Congress, from the Speaker's office, from the White House, and this isn't to brag, there's a point here, and it really isn't to brag, from a bunch of friends emailing me questions and just wanting to chit-chat. I am overwhelmed with the number of people who have had access to me today, and it is all because of the stupid healthcare plan. I got the Speaker's office lobbying me, trying to convince me that the poop doesn't stink. I got two different friends from the White House texting me, one trying to give me tips on how to help undermine it, another trying to pressure me to support it. I got other members of Congress wanting to pick my brain on it. Then I got people wanting to refer other people to me for endorsements or conversations about running for office, and other people outraged. And then I got people asking questions about it. And it is just too much today. And that gives you a sense of what's happening in Washington. Again, it is, I know some of you will hear this, he's just trying to name drop and brag. No, it actually, this is the divide in Washington, D.C. today, among other things. You have members of Congress who hate this bill, but feel like they've got to support it because they're afraid the president will go after them on Twitter and the base will be upset. You've got people in Paul Ryan's office who are livid that conservatives aren't on board. You've got think tank guys who are battling it out with each other. You've got the White House is divided. There are White House staffers who are opposed to it, working in the very same office with White House staffers who support it. It is a terrible piece of legislation, and this division should highlight it. Now, I know from a source who is in the meeting with Republican senators today, their conference meeting, steering committee meeting, as they call it, that it was a free-for-all of savagery towards the legislation. There are no votes in the Senate other than Mitch McConnell and Lamar Alexander to get this piece of legislation through the Senate. Why Republicans want to stake their reputation on something that is hated this much, I have no idea. I was at Bass Pro Shop earlier today. My wife is learning more on guns. She's going to a three-gun competition or three-gun training school in next month. We went to Bass Pro today. She needed some ammo. She needed some other stuff to carry her guns back and forth. I got stopped by two separate Trump supporters who are convinced that at any moment the president is going to get on Twitter and start wailing the Republicans in Congress, beating the crud out of them over this healthcare plan. But he actually likes it. He's on Twitter. I didn't have the heart to tell him. He was on Twitter today, tweeting at Rand Paul, trying to encourage Rand Paul to get on board. He's encouraging the conservatives. He's taking the conservatives bowling at the White House this week, the House Freedom Caucus. They're going bowling to discuss what can he do to get them on board this plan. Ted Cruz is having dinner with him tonight. I'm hoping to convince him this is a terrible piece of legislation, and it is a terrible piece of legislation. It is astonishing to me that this is the plan Republicans came up with, and the number of people who are ridiculing Trump supporters today, wondering how much longer it is before they start saying how great this plan is, considering Donald Trump seems to like it. Or is it going to be like Putin, that suddenly we're all fans of Putin because Trump is? I don't think that's going to happen based on the reactions I got at Bass Pro Today from Trump supporters. And I went around the country today. I've got a little program. I can listen to talk radio shows around the country, local talk, not syndicated stuff. What's the local show in Boston or Cincinnati or Cleveland or San Francisco or Los Angeles or Seattle or Austin or Houston or Dallas? What are the local guys saying? And the reaction from talk radio listeners across the board universally is they hate this bill. And what's so funny is listening to some local talk show hosts who have been diehard Trump fans from the beginning trying to rationalize and explain that, well, this is just the first step. This is a good plan. This is the sausage being made. It's okay. You gotta give him time. And the listeners are having none of it. The phone number, by the way, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Here's the thing. If Republicans pass this plan, objectively, they will have broken their promise to repeal Obamacare. This doesn't even replace it. It just tweaks it. If they do nothing, they will have broken their promise to repeal Obamacare. The question is, which would you prefer? Would you prefer the Republicans pass a plan that doesn't repeal Obamacare and, in fact, makes parts of it worse? And then they own 100% of every problem related to health care. Or they do nothing and they continue to tell people, listen, we would love to replace Obamacare, but stinking Lisa Murkowski from Alaska claims she's going to join the Democrats and filibuster it. And Susan Collins from Maine wants to filibuster it. And Cory Gardner from Colorado, who campaigned to repeal Obamacare, now says he can't do it. If the Republicans if they change one iota of the plan, if they change just a period, a semicolon, a comma, or a letter in Obamacare, you know and I know the media and the Democrats and anyone who gets hurt by Obamacare thereafter is going to blame them for it. Barack Obama will escape all blame. The Democrats will escape all blame. If they leave it alone, if they don't touch it, if they pass no plan, yes, they've broken their promise to repeal it, but this plan breaks their promise to repeal it. But they can't get blamed for screwing up Obamacare because they haven't touched it. They can't get blamed for changing Obamacare because they've changed nothing. They can't get blamed for ruining healthcare in America or causing the system to collapse because they didn't touch Obamacare. What happens to Obamacare when it does collapse is exactly what the Republicans said it would do. And then the Republicans can blame Lisa Murkowski or Cory Gardner or Susan Collins or the Democrats for standing in their way and refusing to work with the Republicans to bring about change on Obamacare. But if they pass this plan, they're just making a bad situation worse. See, here's the thing. Obamacare is terrible. But the Democrats financially structured it so the first several years of it would look sound on the books. That it wouldn't look as bad as it actually is. That's why the individual mandate is in there. That's why the employer mandate is in there. That is why the Cadillac insurance plan tax is in there. The Republicans are going to get rid of all those things. And so that's going to drive up the debt even further. That's going to make healthcare even more expensive to taxpayers. For God's sakes, stop texting me. Got another member of Congress who needs to talk. I mean, they shouldn't do this. It's a bad idea. It's a terrible piece of legislation. But you see, the Republicans and Democrats in Washington, they get afflicted with the just do something syndrome. They get this itch and they got to scratch it. They got to just do something. They told the public they were going to do something in Obamacare, so they got to do something. And this is them doing something. Never mind that it's bad. Never mind it's a terrible plan. Never mind that it's not going to fix the situation. They're doing something. Surely they'll get credit for doing something. No. But they will get every bit of blame once they do something and things don't work out. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, 526, the phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to go take some phone calls now. A lot of people fired up about this issue. John and Alpharetta, going to go to you first. Welcome.
Eric, I'm not worthy. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Awesome. Hey, this has taken 80 years to create this mess through kind of liberal incrementalism. And I want to know, what's the matter with kind of doing this a step at a time? That doesn't seem dishonest. It seems prudent. Because with every bite we take away and add to freedom, we're coming closer to delivering on our promise.
Well, you know, you're singing from my hymnal here, because I don't think Congress does anything well comprehensively. The problem is that the Republicans aren't really whittling away at Obamacare in any sort of incremental way with this plan. They're getting rid of the mechanisms by which Obamacare is funded, without replacing them. So it's going to further deteriorate the system. And now what the Republicans are going to tell you, John, because they're telling me today on the phone and in text messages, is this is just the first step. The next step is going to be tax reform, and we have to do this one to get the tax reform. The problem is the history of the Republicans in Congress for the last 10 years proves otherwise, that they're not going to incrementally advance change to Obamacare. They've got to do it all now because the Democrats will filibuster everything else, and we don't want them to get rid of the filibuster. I know some of you want them to get rid of the filibuster, but trust me, you do not want to get rid of the filibuster, because at some point the Republicans are going to lose the Senate. And if you get rid of the filibuster, Katie, bar the door. You can say the Democrats got rid of the filibuster, they'll do it again. Well, the Democrats got rid of the nominating filibuster, but even the Democrats don't have the votes to get rid of the legislative filibuster. They did not have the votes to do it because Harry Reid tried, and the Democrats in the Senate blocked Harry Reid from doing it because they know they'll one day lose it. So, man. If the Republicans would incrementally whittle away at Obamacare, it would be a good thing. But they're not doing that here. Same thing with immigration. You know, John is so right. Comprehensivism doesn't work. Comprehensive immigration reform, terrible. The Democrats doing comprehensive health care reform with Obamacare, terrible. It doesn't work. It never has, and it never will. Now, when we come back, I want to keep taking your phone calls on this as well. We got to get into the 6th District. There's an interesting observation to be made about what's happening in the 6th District, and some interesting press on the 6th District today in the New York Times. And there's a connection there that we've got to explore, because some candidates have an amazing way to generate national headlines, but no local headlines. I'm back. Welcome. Eric Erickson here, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Those are the phone numbers. I have turned my telephone off, thankfully. Now, let us go to the telephone. We got a lot of people fired up on this issue. Actually, you know what? Before I go to the next caller, I want to follow up on something I said earlier. So we have a program here, particularly because sometimes you want sound bites. Somebody said something on TV and you can look it up, and it'll pull up. Like, for example, I can say Chris Cuomo said something stupid on CNN at 8:05 a.m. Well, so I can put that in and pull up whatever stupid thing Chris Cuomo said, which, I mean, is inevitably, like, every day he's going to say something stupid. But I can also I want to see what local talk radio is talking about. Now, the danger of listening to talk radio when you're on talk radio is that there are some people in this industry who have such large egos that when you say something and it is a thought you have come up with yourself, they're convinced you stole it from them. So you would be amazed at the number of people in talk radio who never listen to talk radio. And I am one of them. There are very few exceptions. I got to listen to Rush because he's just awesome. But very few others. But I did turn on local talk around the country this morning because I was very interested in seeing what are people saying, not just in conservative areas in the South, but what are the people in Boston saying on local talk in Boston or Chicago or St. Louis or San Francisco and L.A. and San Diego, down in Miami, what are they saying? And you can pull it up, and it is callers versus hosts. And the thing here is that the hosts that I listened to intentionally were all exceedingly pro-Trump during the campaign season. In fact, they were some of the first staunchly pro-Trump people in the country in the media, more so than even syndicated talk shows. And listening to them this morning, they're trying to defend the health care plan because the president has come out and said he supports it. So they're doing their cheerleading. You can't blame him. He says he likes it, so they like it. I mean, whatever he wants, they give him. And the listeners are having none of it. And these are solidly Trump listeners. They supported the president, mad at guys like me for not, and they are livid with this House plan. Now, none of them are blaming the president. They're blaming Paul Ryan. They're blaming Mitch McConnell. They're blaming Congress. They're blaming Republicans. They're blaming Reince Priebus. They're blaming Sean Spicer. They're not blaming the president. They are convinced, like these two guys who ambushed me at Bass Pro, they are convinced that the president is going to stand up and throw the Republicans under the bus and demand radical change to get rid of Obamacare, to keep their promises. We'll see. But it's just an interesting dichotomy now to see callers to talk radio shows that have been decidedly for the president. The callers are livid while the hosts are trying to defend the health care bill. And it's indefensible. It really is indefensible. If you're a conservative, if you have believed the Republicans when they said they were going to repeal it, you can't defend this plan. And in fact, Noah Rothman at Commentary Magazine noted today that there has yet to be published a conservative piece in praise of this Republican health care plan. Even the ones that supposedly praise it are praising it with they're damning it with faint praise, essentially. It's really an interesting thing to watch today. Particularly because so many people bought into the Republican promises. I mean, they promised it in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Even at the beginning of this year, they promised they were going to repeal it. And now their cards are on the table. And it's not even a repeal. It's not even a replacement. It's a tweaking. It's a violation of their promises. And people are understandably angry. Let's get back to the phones. Jeremy and Marietta, you're going to be next. Welcome.
Hey, Eric, thanks. I appreciate for taking the phone call. Just kind of want to piggyback on what caller said earlier in regards to this health plan. And I really do think that it's a kind of a strategy plan that the Republicans are having to use. I kind of equate it to a par five hole. You know, you don't go up there swinging thinking you're going to hit a hole in one on the first shot. You play the strategy game where you kind of setting up your next shot. And unfortunately, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have rolled it out like this, but I'm thinking that the Republicans are using the tactics that they can have at their discretion to kind of set themselves up to eventually down the road they can get what they promised. And you got a lot of smart people like Herman Cain who says the more and more I read it, the more and more I like it. And I certainly don't want to discredit him, but anyway, just kind of want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, so here's my concern with that, Jeremy, and just up front, the Medicaid issue is probably the best example of it, is if that's what they're doing it incrementally. Why are they waiting until 2020 to get rid of Medicaid? Because what they've done with this legislative structure is they've incentivized a flood of people into Medicaid. They've made it easier to qualify for Medicaid. They've made it easier to get tax credits. I mean, consider this. You get a tax credit off the taxes that you've paid. And under this plan, you're going to get tax credits. You're going to give tax credits to people who haven't even paid taxes. Yeah, that's part of this plan, is you're going to give tax credits to people who haven't paid taxes. You're going to incentivize flooding the rolls of Medicaid, which is the least efficient government welfare program, least effective as well. And they're going to close it off in 2020. But they're not going to wind down Medicaid. So they're going to incentivize people flooding the system. And then in 2020, they're going to say, okay, nobody else is allowed in Medicaid. Well, by then, you've got several million extra people in Medicaid, and they haven't come up with an accounting mechanism to pay for it. Yes, they're trying to structure the plan because they have to get around the filibuster, and they've tied this into reconciliation, which in under Senate rules isn't filibusterable. The problem, though, is that they have not considered the fact that the parliamentarian in the Senate is going to look at this and say it busts the budget. And that throws it out of reconciliation. Why does it bust the budget? Well, it gets rid of the employer mandate, it gets rid of the individual mandate, and it gets rid of the Cadillac tax. Those are the three mechanisms the Democrats used to get it through reconciliation the first time. If the Republicans are going to try to get it back through under reconciliation, it can't increase the debt. It can't increase the national debt. This increases the national debt. It's very clear the House guys didn't talk to the Senate guys before they were drafting it because everybody in the Senate knows this isn't going to be able to go through reconciliation. The parliamentarian in the Senate's going to rule that it busts the budget. Even if they wanted to do it incrementally, and let's grant that Jeremy's right, they wanted to do it incrementally. This isn't the way to do it incrementally. Giving tax credits to people who don't pay taxes and incentivizing a rush to get on Medicaid for the next 3 years or 4 years, that's bust the budget. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. So here's the deal. I really ran long in the last segment trying to talk and get callers in. So when we come back, because I have less than a minute here, I'm going to spend time on phone calls, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. But right when we come back, I do have something to say about the 6th Congressional District. There are some ads that are out now. Bob Gray has an ad out now about draining the swamp. Dan Moody has an ad out about the usual political players. And John Ossoff, there's a profile of him in the New York Times, and he's just raising the hackles of local Democrats over how much attention the guy's getting. You got to give it to him. He's getting a ton of attention, but there's a catch.
Liftoff. We have a
liftoff. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB, the nation's most listened to news talk station. It is 6:09 p.m. in our city. Beautiful weather today, and I have a guest. I discreetly and diplomatically said nothing last hour because we got our wires crossed, and my buddy Chip Roy from Texas Public Policy Foundation, 10th Amendment Center, he's on Central Time, so when we said 5 o'clock, well, we wound up with 5 o'clock Central Time. So welcome, Chip. How are you?
Glad to be on the show, Eric. Sorry about that, but you guys should just adopt Texas time, and then everything would be okay.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, everybody should go to Texas. Well, all the right-thinking people should go to Texas.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Let's get into the nuts and bolts of this Obamacare situation. Folks, for those of you who don't know, Chip Roy worked on Capitol Hill, worked for Senator Cornyn, was the chief of staff for Senator Cruz for a while, also was a deputy chief of staff for Governor Perry, was the assistant attorney general for the state of Texas, Deputy Attorney General for the state of Texas. Now he's with the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and he's been reading through the Obamacare 2.0 legislation that the Republicans have foisted. And I know because we've had the email exchange, you're not a fan.
Well, that's right, Eric. You live long enough, and you know the old adage that the more things change, the more things stay the same. You know, this is just business as usual in Washington, and we've been poring over it. We've got a lot of guys that we brought onto our team who are familiar with the healthcare laws and the healthcare legislative process. And you know, what you're hearing out there is absolutely true. Obamacare 2.0, Congress Care, Ryan Care, whatever you want to call it, this is basically taking Obamacare, which we know was built on the back of regulations on Medicaid expansion, and they're taking their bill and they're building their bill on the back of regulations and Medicaid expansion and on top of subsidies. And they're basically just trying to convince and con the American people that they're doing something different when in fact they're not. And, you know, the problem is we're the losers in that deal. We're going to end up with continued skyrocketing costs in healthcare, lack of access to the doctors of our choice, and we're going to have more people in the Medicaid payrolls costing taxpayers increasing amounts of money.
Well, you know, that's one of my concerns with this legislation is you put the cutoff window for getting on Medicaid in 2020. It seems like you're providing every incentive for people to rush into the system now.
That's exactly right. They're putting a three-year glide path for additional Medicaid expansion, and the result will be exactly what you just said. People rushing in to try to jump into the system. You know, the dirty secret about the Obamacare coverage numbers, right? You hear everybody talking about how you've got 15 or 20 million people that are now covered that weren't before. But the vast majority, upwards of 14 million people, were just shoved into Medicaid. And I don't know about you, but I don't think Medicaid is the way we want to make sure that the American people have access to health care. And in fact, we know through our research and studies that the coverage is far inferior if you're on Medicaid to the private market. And in fact, in Illinois, there are 752 people last year who died while waiting for coverage through Medicaid because the able-bodied people were shoved into the system because of Obamacare. So expanding Medicaid further and allowing 3 years of people racing to jump into the system will only make that system less stable and drive costs higher.
Good grief. So, Chip, I mean, what can conservatives do about this situation? It seems like the House and the White House are pressuring conservatives to support it.
Well, it's a great question. I can tell you from friends that are still in Washington that I used to work with that there's a lot of pressure being brought to bear from the White House and from Republican leaders on conservatives who are raising their concerns and their opposition to the draft bill. And so our rock stars in the House, the guys that are the members of the House Freedom Caucus, our senators on the other side, like Senators Lee and Senator Paul, Senator Cruz, others who are raising concerns about this bill, they need support and they need it quickly. We've got Congressman Walker, who's the head of the Republican Study Committee, one of the sort of more conservative groups in the House. He needs backup. He needs support because he's getting so much pressure from the Republican leadership to try to cut deals and make things happen. Now, the good news from a conservative standpoint is the backlash has been fairly significant, and it has been across the board, and they're hearing it, and they're getting a little nervous. What we're hearing from inside of Washington is that there's a lot of discontent among senators and congressmen that this may be a briar patch they didn't want to enter into. So if we just keep the heat up, we can hopefully hold the line here. I think the outcome here, what we want, is we want this bill to be pulled down, and we want them to honor their commitment to just pass a repeal bill. Repeal it, and then let's start with a fresh, clean slate, and then we can get to the business of reforming our healthcare system.
We've had several callers to the program today, and I've heard these similar calls around the country today say, well, don't we have to do this incrementally, and isn't this just the start? What do you respond when that question's raised?
Well, first of all, this is sort of, you know, Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football, right? I mean, how many times are we going to listen to them say, oh, don't worry, we'll do it next time, right? Just believe us. Every single time we have an issue. Remember back when we were going through the defund effort, for your listeners, when I was Senator Cruz's chief of staff, we were there on the floor of the Senate in the fall of 2013 when every one of these Senate Republican leaders were looking at Senator Cruz and saying, you can't do this. We don't have the votes. We can't get this done. President Obama will repeal it. But if we just had a majority of the Senate and we had a Republican in the White House, we'd be able to do it, Ted. Well, guess what? We've got a majority in the Senate. We've got a Republican in the White House. We have a significant majority in the House. And yet today, the argument is, well, we don't have 60 votes in the Senate. And I got to be honest, they're fully 100% being disingenuous. They are lying about their inability to pass repeal, full repeal, the regulations and everything through the Senate. They can. They just have the will to do it. They can tell the parliamentarian of the Senate, who is the current obstacle in their eyes, or at least in their mantra, to being able to get repeal of the entirety of Obamacare. they can do it if they just vote with 51 to do it. It's got to choose to.
You know, it's funny that you should say this, because I noticed National Review has released their editorial opinion that this isn't a good bill and they need to have a do-over. And they note that this bill reads like they drafted it to care what the parliamentarian of the Senate might hypothetically say, as opposed to drafting a bill they believe in.
Well, look, the most important thing to remember on all of this is that the senators who have been promising to repeal Obamacare and the members of Congress have been promising to repeal Obamacare, if they want to repeal it, and I don't mean to make this seem so simple, but if they want to repeal it, they can. When the National Review editors are pointing out all the flaws of the bill and their right to do so, and all of the other folks that we know that have been saying bad things about the bill. We've got a Heritage Action for America has put stuff out. I know that Jenny Beth Martin with the Tea Party folks have put stuff out. FreedomWorks has been calling it Obamacare 2.0. Daniel Horowitz on Conservative Review. We have unanimity and recognition that this is a flawed bill and more of the same. What we now need is to turn the heat up and get the folks in Washington to recognize they have the power to do what they've been promising to do for 8 years. And every conservative ought to be lighting up the phones of the members of their members of Congress and their senators, that they expect nothing less than full repeal and not hide behind rules in the Senate when it's a complete sham.
Well, that works for me. We're out of time. I appreciate you stopping by.
Eric, thanks. Sorry for the mix-up on the time, but love being on your show. Atlanta's lucky to have you on the air.
Well, thanks very much. Chip Roy, everybody, with Texas Public Policy Foundation, knows what he's talking about when it comes to health care, and he's right. They just don't have the will to do it. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here. Phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Now, let's go to the phones, shall we? I want to go to Larry in Tucker. Thanks for being patient, Larry. Welcome.
Hi, thank you, Eric. I had a question. Why can't the Republicans pass a bill where the open enrollment for Obamacare has ended? So pass a bill that you freeze those enrollees and that you're going to protect the mandates for those people that are on there. But everybody else gets all these other free market where you can buy across state lines, you can increase your health savings accounts and all the other things they want to do. And that way, as people who are on Obamacare realize that there's better market, free market programs out there that they go and they leave Obamacare, your number of people that you're funding with mandates slowly reduces. And that way you take the argument away from the media and the Democrats saying, you kicked 20 million people off the health care. No, I didn't. These people left. We protected them.
Larry, do you live in the 6th Congressional District?
No, I live in the 4th.
Ah, well, we could have run you for Congress on that idea.
I ran in the 4th, but that was, you know, but I didn't think, and that's just not going to win. So.
This is a good idea. They should have done something like this, as opposed to flinging open the doors to Medicaid and encouraging people to enroll. What you're suggesting would have been a far better idea. At least it would have been a start to undermining the Obamacare system and showing people the free market works. And, you know, that's part of the problem here is that there's a deep suspicion that the free market doesn't work, that people are going to get screwed out of their health care. And they're wrong. The people who believe that are wrong. But the Republicans are scared. And part of this, and I made this point the other day, and it is worth repeating. Republicans are legislating from a position of fear. They are scared of the media. They are scared of the Democrats. They are scared of Donald Trump. They are scared of you. And they are scared of the people who think they're going to lose insurance. And most of the people they are scared of are aligned against them on this issue. And so they are scared to do anything. And it has paralyzed their decision-making processes. This is a terrible piece of legislation, and it's not even incremental. I mean, Chip Roy, if you were here listening, is right, raising the issue that they could get this through the Senate, but they are scared of what the parliamentarian of the Senate may decide. Not even what she will decide, but may decide. They've bogged themselves down. They've overthought it. It's ridiculous. When we come back, though, I got to move into the 6th Congressional District. There's actually news there that you need to hear. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. It is 6:39 in our city. A little bit of light left out there, a little bit. Beautiful day, though. It is March 8th, and we're in shorts and sneezing thanks to the pollen. And by we, I mean you guys as well, except those of you who had to go downtown and wear suits today. The 6th District is not downtown. It's North Fulton, a little bit of Cobb, DeKalb County as well, Tom Price's district. John Ossoff is one of several Democrats who are running. He is not the only Democrat running, although you would be hard-pressed to find that information out if you were to read the newspaper outside of Atlanta. Whether you're reading left-wing activist sites or you're reading the New York Times, you name it, they act like he's the only guy running. You know, Ron Slotin, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his last name, he is in the race. He's a Democrat. There are five Democrats in the race. Now, Slotin, you should know because he was a former state senator. But so John Ossoff is in today's New York Times looking, well, somewhat grown up, other than he's got bedhead in the picture. He's 30. And the Democrats are making him a cause celeb. They are trying their best to get him all sorts of attention. And why? Why are they doing this? See, this is a no-brainer here. What happens to Democrats around the country is they get swept up into causes and they spend a lot of money and they get no bang for their buck. Now, the polling suggests right now that Ossoff and Karen Handel are going to get into a runoff, and when they do, she's going to beat him handily. Because she even attracts some female Democratic voters just by virtue of being female herself. Ossoff doesn't have a chance of getting to 50+1, and he doesn't have a chance of getting through the runoff, but the Democrats are pouring money into his race. There's a PR effort going on here. There is a real PR campaign because left-wing sites are all over his race and him. The New York Times is giving him coverage. They're putting his picture in the New York Times. Other media outlets are talking about him. I don't know which Democratic PR firm he's got working for him, but there's got to be one. Because a congressional candidate, particularly a Democrat in a Republican seat, doesn't get that much press attention. They just don't. So there's got to be some level of organized PR campaign, but what is the result of that PR campaign going to do? It is going to prop up a candidate. He's raised $1 million. He's going to prop up a candidate who isn't going to win, more likely than not. Now, I shouldn't say isn't, obviously, but the district is stacked very heavily against him, and he will have to pull out all the stops and will have to turn out voters who normally don't turn out in order to win. When you look at this district, generally, the voters who turn out tend to be senior citizens. The voters who tend to turn out in a special election are definitely senior citizens. And those voters in this district tend to be Trump supporters. But not only that, the people in this district who were not Trump supporters, he only won by 1.5% in a district that Mitt Romney won by 20%. A lot of those Republicans are now suddenly Trump supporters because they've seen the left-wing meltdown. They've seen people rallying to guys like Ossoff. And they've decided they're not going to go with him. He may be a very nice guy, singularly unaccomplished as someone running for Congress. He worked for Hank Johnson, for God's sakes. I mean, this is a man who thought Guam was going to tip over, and this guy worked for him. Not exactly a qualification to get to Congress, but that's not stopping him. Now, what is this? They're a group of hipster women. Okay, you know, that reminds me. Can I just time out here? I am really upset that so few women walked out of the workplace today. You know, today was supposed to be a general strike. Women everywhere were supposed to strike. They were supposed to wear red in protest of Donald Trump. They were supposed to strike. I didn't see any. And I'm really disappointed because you know what today was supposed to be? See, women were called to not spend any money today, not do any household work, and not go to work. Today was supposed to be the day that men across America could watch a movie uninterrupted without a bunch of questions. But the women didn't participate. Today was supposed to be the day men across America would know that their bank accounts would not be raided by their wives. But the women didn't participate. You just couldn't stop the women from shopping. I mean, today was supposed to be a day where men did not have to worry about getting yelled at by their significant others because the significant other was going to be on the street marching and not going to work. But it didn't pan out that way. I mean, this whole women strike thing is a complete fail. The only people who participated are upper middle class white women and students who really risk nothing. The women who actually risk something, some of them actually in some areas of the country had to stay home and take care of their kids because the kids' teachers decided to stage the walkout today, causing poor women to give up a vacation day to stay home with their kids. The only people who could participate in this are people who are privileged in the language of the left. But don't tell them that. They think they're being oppressed. Why? Because Donald Trump is president. All this is about still is being a sore loser. They cannot get over the fact that Hillary Clinton didn't win, and they can't admit to themselves that she was a terrible candidate, and she was. Let's be honest with it. She's a terrible candidate. In fact, the Washington Post has a story today that Donald Trump now has higher favorability ratings than Hillary Clinton. Think about that. A woman who's not even campaigning anymore for president. A woman not even on the stage, and Donald Trump is now more popular than her. And let's not even get into Chelsea Clinton and her spinach pancakes. Who the hell cares what Chelsea Clinton thinks about anything? Why are they trotting her out every day? Chelsea Clinton's favorite list of books. Chelsea Clinton's favorite spinach pancake recipe. She's probably got John Ossoff's PR firm getting her as much attention in the New York Times as him. It's got to be PR because, you know, she's not doing it herself. No one is interested in Chelsea Clinton. But some PR firm would have you think they are. Y'all got to listen to this. These are the women protesters out marching today trying to sing. Listen, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. You would think that if they were going to walk out of the job today, that instead of going to protest, they might consider going out and getting themselves some singing lessons.
White men, white mother's sons, it's just important as the killing of a black man. Black mother's sons, we
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have no idea. And it doesn't get any better than that. They're out of tune and out of sync. And my goodness gracious. Wow. Boy. maybe we should take up pass the collection plate around and get them some music lessons. I don't know. This nonsense. I don't know if we can deal with 4 years of this garbage. All right, folks, we're out of time here. Don't forget you can text WSB to 444-999 and sign up for the show notes. See y'all tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.